Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Marilyn Pittman. LGBT issues are part of the landscape of civil rights in this country, which is why we often include issues of racism or sexism here. Tonight, on this program, we'll touch on all three. The Mormon Church and their money were behind some of the Prop 8 marriage equality fight in 2008. Recent headlines have them excommunicating Kate Kelly for asking that women be able to be ordained in the ministry. Did you hear about that? My guest has been dubbed the gay mayor of Salt Lake City. We'll get an update from him on the latest progress for gay rights in Utah, and we'll hear about his latest arrest for fighting for those rights. But first, he interviewed Kate Kelly recently, and we'll be sharing some of that with you in the top of the program. Joining me by phone, he's the host of community radio station KRCL's show, Radioactive, Troy Williams. Welcome to Out in the Bay.
Hey, it's great to be back, Marilyn. Hi, San Francisco.
I'm so proud of you that you've done an amazing thing. I've known you for about 6-7 years, and you have just been on fire. You really have. You've become the gay mayor of Salt Lake City, which is that an oxymoron? Tell us a little bit about Kate Kelly. What is Ordain Women, this organization she started?
Yeah, Kate Kelly is a superstar, and so proud of her and her courage. To back up a little bit, believe it or not, Mormonism actually has a rich history of feminism, starting all the way back when Mormon polygamous wives were some of the nation's first suffragettes. And today, a group of faithful, these are Orthodox Mormon women, are advocating for ordination to the all-male priesthood, and they've organized around the name Ordained Women. And you can check all of their work out at ordainedwomen.org.
They'll probably have about as much luck as the Catholic women.
They're fierce. They're fierce, and you're right, but the all-male leadership is very invested in maintaining their patriarchy, and they have not been, shall we say, appreciative of Ordained Women's efforts, culminating just most recently in the excommunication, as you said, last month, of one of the co-founders, Kate Kelly.
Just a few weeks ago. Now, tell me about this thing that happened last October and how this started, and then we'll hear from Kate, your interview with her on KRCL, on your show Radioactive. But I wanted to understand what that context is that happened last October.
Yeah, the women gathered together twice a year in Salt Lake City. There is the biannual World General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And every Saturday night, historically, they have a priesthood session that only men can attend. And the women wanted to attend. And these are faithful Mormon. They show up in their beautiful dresses, and they stand patiently in line, one by one, approach the conference doors, just asking for access. Now, I, as a gay man who's an apostate from the church, I could get into the priesthood session just because of my genitalia. But these faithful, active Mormon women were all denied access.
Let's listen to this. This is Kate Kelly, the excommunicated Mormon woman, and you're listening to Out in the Bay. Troy Williams is my guest from Salt Lake City.
Priesthood session, there was a man responding to us.
Okay.
Brother Anderson from mm-hmm. the Public Affairs Department. And each photo of every woman going up there with tears in her eyes, asking him repeatedly, can I go in? I'm a faithful, active Mormon woman. I want to participate. That turned out to be very visually bad for the church, mm-hmm. and for us, very cathartic, because we were able to confront, in person, a representative of the patriarchy. And for me, it was this very visceral experience of saying, the sole reason I'm being excluded from this meeting is because of my gender. And he, for better or for worse, he embodied that. The next time, they sent a woman, Kim Farah, to respond. And so she was the one who turned mm-hmm. us away. But the irony of that situation is she can't even attend the meeting.
she's the guardian of the gate.
she's the guardian of the gate to a meeting she can't even attend. So right. it's just so difficult to be in that situation. And even Ruth Todd, when we in October 5th, when we went, Ruth Todd was a spokesperson of the church at the time, and she said, she told me the meeting is full. You're not going to be able to get in. And unfortunately, again, the internet exists. So someone had tweeted a photo, and I held up my phone and said, there are two full sections that have seats open. You aren't even able to attend the meeting. And so you don't know. It's not full. And so I think this really symbolizes, like, these women who are essentially, you know, shills for the patriarchy at this point are putting themselves in a very bad situation. And that's their choice.
Now, Kate Kelly also mentions in your interview, Troy, that the Mormon Church is struggling to maintain control. I found that really interesting about the tweeted photo. They're really struggling because it's the digital age. Let's listen to one more excerpt from your interview.
I think this all goes back to controlling information.
Right.
And it's all tied. You know, a lot of people say, well, the church was being so open with their I'm a Mormon campaign. Is this a step back? To me, I don't think that was being open. I think that was another attempt to control information. So I see this as very consistent with the I'm a Mormon campaign. I see this as very consistent with the public relations that they built up after the Olympics and mm-hmm. during the Romney campaign. Those moves were positive moves, but those were also intended to control information.
Right.
And I think the church is really struggling with the World Wide Web, the existence of the World Wide Web, and trying to control the message in the ways that they have in the past with very new technology being available. This is a losing battle. I mean, you cannot control information in the digital age. It's not possible. And so I think attempts to do so are not going to be successful. Particularly, I think that's the difference between even in the purge of the 1990s, the early 1990s, there just wasn't a way for people to immediately access information, for people to immediately know every single detail of what's going on or make up details in some cases. But people feel like this is happening to them because they are tweeting about it immediately. They're having podcasts about it immediately.
Right.
Like, our community is processing this in a way that the church can't control.
Yeah.
That's it. So that's Kate Kelly. She was recently excommunicated by the Mormon Church because she started a group called Ordained Women. They're women trying to be ordained and included with some sort of voice. Troy Williams is my guest here on Out in the Bay. He's the gay mayor, so-called gay mayor of Salt Lake City, and an amazing activist there, really has been part of the struggle for years now. What was it like talking to her? Were you just dazzled by her courage? Do you see it as a sort of lightning rod for change?
Absolutely. And you have to consider, you know, we live in a quasi-theocracy here in Utah. So what the church teaches young women has a major impact on all of us. I don't care if you're Mormon or not, or gay, straight, whatever. In this state, women make 70 cents for every dollar a man makes. Women are represented maybe, I think, 17% in the Utah legislature. Domestic abuse rates are off the charts in this state. How we teach women what their value is, what their worth is, has an impact on all sectors of our society. So when women step up and advocate for parity in an ecclesiastical setting, we all have to cheer them on.
Well, and we talk about racism in this same conversation, and she talks about it.
Right.
Because racism, sexism, homophobia, they all kind of go together. Civil rights triumvirate, I like to think.
Exactly.
When did the Mormon Church, Troy, begin to deal with its racism?
Well, racist ideas have always been a big part of Mormonism. In the Book of Mormon, Joseph Smith taught that God turned the skin of the Native Americans dark because they were wicked. In later revelations that comprise what we call the Pearl of Great Price, Joseph Smith reiterated the idea that the seed of Ham was cursed with a dark skin and therefore could not hold the priesthood. And when I grew up as a Mormon boy, I was always taught that black men and women were black because they were less valiant in the war in heaven, which, according to Mormon theology, happened before we came to this earth. In 1978, a lot of pressure, internal agitating, external pressure, the church finally reversed the ban on black men and allowed them into the priesthood. But even today, in the highest quorums of the church, the 12 apostles, they're all white, and I think that the first black general authority in the lower quorums wasn't called until 2009. So this is very much a church ran by old white men with ideas that are entrenched in the 1950s.
Let's hear another excerpt from Kate Kelly, your interview with Kate Kelly, recently excommunicated Mormon woman there in Salt Lake City. This is Troy Williams from KRCL Radioactive in Salt Lake City. And this is his interview with Kate Kelly.
Aside from the public outward pressure on the church to no longer be a racist institution, there were also a lot of people on the inside, very pained and prayerfully, you know, urging the brethren to reconsider, because it was painful. It wasn't just that it looked bad. It was painful to the people. And so I think, you know, in our situation, a lot of people focus on you're making the church look bad. And I, of course, countered that I'm not making them look bad. I'm exposing something.
Right,
and if
right.
it looks bad, that's on them. But it's also painful. It's not just about what it looks like. You know, I think we should stop focusing on that. It's not what it looks like. It's painful. Mm-hmm. When you grow up in the church as a woman and you look up on the stand and there are no women leaders, when you sing a song or memorize a scripture or memorize a story about a person, it's a man. Men are the protagonist of almost every story in the scriptures and in Mormon doctrine and culture. And
that's why they call it more men.
More men.
Right.
I think it's important to understand that this hurts us deeply.
Troy, thank you so much for sharing this interview that you did with Kate Kelly with us. I thought it was an important thing to share. And since I know you and know your work there, I really wanted to share it with the Out in the Bay audience. I'm wondering, what is your take? You talk about the patriarchy a lot. You sound like a feminist from the early 70s. I'm just wondering what your take is on how this is connected to homophobia.
Right. I think... why do Republicans and the Christian rights and the Mormons, why are they so freaked out about gay marriage? Why are they so invested in this? And they keep talking about traditional marriage, which I believe is a misnomer. There is no such thing as traditional marriage. What they want to maintain is patriarchal marriage. It's the idea that the father presides in the home. In the home, in the institution of marriage, they have used that to establish who is in charge. And that kind of sort of seeps out. It's established, the template for patriarchy is established in the married home, the married couple, and then it moves out into the corporate sector, the civic sector, and, of course, the ecclesiastical sector as well. And that's what they're afraid of. That's what why they have to push Kate Kelly down and intimidate other Mormon feminists to silence them by excommunicating Kate. And that's why they are so invested in maintaining their religious liberty to make sure that LGBT people do not have the same rights that they have, because fundamentally they want to live in a world where old white straight men are in charge.
Yeah, it may not be their world anymore. That's what
it's
I think
not,
sometimes.
It's not their world anymore. And they continue on this path at their own peril. The Republicans, evangelical Christians, and Mormons, the youth of all of these religions and political parties, they love LGBT people. Right? They believe, they see a world, you know, they sing, you know, the song Frozen, the big Let It Go song.
Right.
And they realize that that women are powerful, and that they have a place in society. They're lawyers and doctors and CEOs. And then they go to church and they're nothing. They're mothers. They're only mothers. They have no authority over young 12-year-old boys. And that the center cannot hold, as Yates said.
I like it. Let's tie that right into this big news there in Utah regarding marriage equality. The Tenth Circuit and the ACLU, they sued the state for not recognizing the marriages of the 1,300 couples who wed
right
during that 17-day window. People may not know about that. Tell us a little bit more about that. Big news this week.
Yeah, as you said, you know, December 20th, Judge Shelby, a district judge, ruled that we were the first state to overturn our gay marriage ban. There were 33 other ones, and they've, you know, fallen like dominoes ever since then. And we had a 17-day window before the Supreme Court issued a stay. 1,300 couples were wed. Then the Supreme Court issued the stay until the appeal process went through. And then our governor, Gary Herbert, and our new Attorney General, Sean Reyes, said that they were putting those marriages on hold. The ACLU pulled some plaintiffs together, sued, and it was actually a Mormon conservative, a district judge named Dale Kimball, who said that the state must immediately recognize these marriages. And then, of course, the state scrambled, appealed to the 10th, who again refused to grant the state a stay. And so yesterday, the state appealed to the Supreme Court again, saying, please, please, stay this ruling. And if the court does not grant the stay by Monday, 8 a.m., all 1,300 of those couples, their marriages will have to be legally recognized in the state of Utah. It's another victory for gay marriage.
Well, and I remember December, there was a real stink in Utah. I mean, people were not... The government workers were refusing to cooperate.
Yeah, well, yeah, in some of the more conservative counties, some of them were refusing to. But here in Salt Lake County was going crazy for it. Our mayor rushed down and started marrying everybody, and it was such a joyful celebration.
Well, it's a red city in a blue state.
Yeah, but
a blue city in a red state.
Exactly,
Sorry. Yeah.
Salt Lake City is super progressive.
Yeah, I think it was up in Provo where they were just up in arms about this. And, you know, think about it. People do carry guns everywhere in Utah.
It's really a wonder
something really bad didn't happen.
Yeah, it's always on the back of your mind when you go speak at rallies.
It must be.
And you're like, you know, because we know the history of civil rights in our nation, how violent it is. And but, you know, so far, fortunately, we've had no outbreaks of violence. Mormons are very nice. They'll vote away your rights, but the people are actually very nice. And maybe a little bit on the passive-aggressive side, but
what
violence.
What do you think is going to happen on Monday? What's your prediction?
I would love to see the Supreme Court just, you know, refuse the stay, but I think pragmatically they probably will issue a stay. And then, we are appealing this to the Supreme Court, and, mm-hmm. you know, we don't know if our case will be the one that finally makes it. But of note to San Francisco, the co-counsel with our attorneys, Jim Magleby and Peggy Tomczyk, is Kate Kendall from the National Center for Lesbian Rights.
Well, of course.
She's a Utah girl and a former board chair of KRCL Radio, where I work. And so they've been working closely with her and Shannon Minter, and it would be amazing if Utah was the actual case to go before the Supreme Court.
It would be so amazing.
Poetic. It would be so beautiful. Marriage equality brought to all 50 states, courtesy of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
So you must be having some fun with this.
Oh, we're having a blast here. It's nice to win. Occasionally. When you're a progressive in Utah, you don't have a lot of wins. And so to actually have these victories is tremendous for all of us.
Well, you organized the kiss-in rallies on the steps of the church. You developed a Sister Dottie dragon gay activist character into a solo show with performer Charles Frost. Mm-hmm. You also, this year, got arrested. Tell us about that.
Well, I think every, social justice activist should get arrested at least once. I was watching the really brave activists in Idaho at the legislature. They were getting hauled out, in large numbers. And we were facing the exact same thing. We had a non-discrimination bill for both housing and employment. And you got to know, 72% of the state of Utah supports a non-discrimination statewide non-discrimination ordinance for LGBT people, both trans and gay. And we have this overwhelming support. 20 municipalities have already passed these ordinances, but the Utah legislature, which leans far to the right of the state, if you can imagine that, absolutely refused to hear the bill. And they blocked us out. They decided because of our victory in with the marriage case. I think this was a very punitive decision. They decided, we are just not going to hear this.
We've had it
all.
With you gays.
Yes,
I'm sure they didn't even use the word gays.
Right. And they were also, they were also working. We have a legislator that was working to pass a bill that would have banned trans youth from school bathrooms that didn't quote. Match their phenotype. So there was some vicious
That's
ugliness.
Very punitive, It's like
the thing
in Arizona early this year where, and you don't have to make gay wedding flowers for, the gay weddings if you don't want to by law.
Exactly. And they were chomping at the bit to pass that bill as well in this state.
It's absurd. All of it's sort of absurd to those of us with common sense and modern attitudes.
Can you imagine Jesus Christ coming before you saying, I'm so sorry, children, but my deeply held religious beliefs won't allow me to serve you.
Right.
Right. So we just, you know, I got together a group of my friends, and we blocked the doors to the governor's office. You couldn't get in and out through us. And then the state troopers came, and they evacuated the governor from the sort of back secret tunnel.
Yes.
and then so they said, well, fine, there's no one back there now. You can stay there as long as you'd like. And so we realized where the president of the Senate would be, and so we moved there, and we blocked the doors there, and that's when the troopers came in and swept us up. And
I got to just tell people that Troy D. Williams, troydwilliams.com, you can read this story, and I read it today, and it was interesting that the state troopers didn't really know what to do.
They were clueless. It never happened before.
It never happened before. Really?
Yeah, right. You know, Utahns, the patriarchy does not like, it's not used to having their power challenged. And they were absolutely, they just didn't know what to do. They were just incensed. Like, who are these people doing this? And we were all very, you know, handsome and smart and, you know, in our little suits and ties.
I saw the video.
Yeah. And, it was a very empowering moment. And it's always interesting when you're in this moment, because people come up and they start talking to you. And you always get the straight white guy coming up to you saying, guys, you're doing this the wrong way. You're doing this the wrong way. You're hurting your cause. And I'm like, yes, because you yourself have been on the front line of so many civil rights movements in your life.
They want to put it back into a committee. And you said on your blog, you said that isn't going to, that's what you do every time.
Right,
you're
exactly.
Just trying to bury us, and we're not going to let you do that. We're not going to agree to do that.
Exactly. And, you know, the good thing that came, we were arrested and we were held for 6 hours. And that's
you were treated how badly?
Well, the penal system is brutal. And when we arrived there.
Yes, I'm watching Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, yeah. I have a whole new appreciation for it. But, yeah, I saw so many people there that were incarcerated because of mental illness, because of drug and alcohol abuse, because of poverty. You know, that's why we throw people in jail in this country.
Orange is the New Black a lot because of poverty. It's economic, yes.
It's economic. And that's another issue, but, you know, it's, again, all connected. But the really great thing that came out of our actions is that the leadership of the Senate acquiesced to a informal, off-the-record hearing of LGBT people, and it allowed Equality Utah to come in and bring forward a bunch of really amazing trans people and other families, LGBT families, and actually speak to the legislature. And this was historic because it was the first time that these Republican, Mormon elected leaders were actually meeting a trans person and actually seeing their lives. And And so good has come from this so far.
Well, in this particular fight that you were arrested for, this Capital 13 gang that you call yourselves, you know, what you're trying to do is you're just trying to get protection for housing and jobs, right?
Right, yeah.
Well, and, you know, we've been fighting for this marriage equality thing for years now, and there were still, I don't know what the number is right this second, but there was 30-some states that still don't have protections against being fired if you're gay or trans or other, or being kicked out of your house. And so we still have this huge uphill battle state by state by state in this country.
Yeah.
And that's the battle you're fighting in this regard.
Exactly. And, you know, yeah, marriage equality, you know, we love it and we've got to fight for it and we're going to win it. We are winning it. But after that happens, the battle is not over. We have not achieved equality. I'm a single person, you know, so I want equal rights for single people, too. And I think now that the marriage is kind of fait accompli, we need, as an entire community, really to rally together and advocate, fund, and fight for an all-inclusive federal LGBT civil rights omnibus bill that's analogous to the civil rights law that we passed 50 years ago.
I agree.
That needs to happen now.
It needs to happen on a federal level, but then you have the Republicans have been very successful in this states' rights things, and so I'm not so sure you have a United States of America anymore in that regard. It's you can't do this there, and you can't do that there, and you can only do this here, and all that stuff.
Yep.
So it's not quite, it's not very unified.
It's not at all. But, you know, I'm really grateful to the marriage movement because I think it's been so tremendous at actually moving people's hearts and opening up people, the sort of narrative of love. Whatever you think of gay marriage, for whatever reason, the narrative of love is so compelling, and people are like on board for it, and the idea that their gay uncles or their gay cousins can't get married causes them to be outraged, and it seems like such an injustice, and it's really easy for mainstream America to wrap their minds around it. What's more complicated and what's more difficult is to talk about discrimination in housing and employment, equal access to public accommodations, all of those type of things which are absolutely critical. And we will not have full equality until we have all of those things.
You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. My guest is Troy Williams. He's the leading voice of gay rights in Utah. You can find him at troydwilliams.com. And you can hear his show Radioactive on krcl.org, one of the great community radio stations that keep the democracy going here in this country.
We try.
Do you ever worry for your safety? You mentioned that. We talked about that earlier. And I'm just wondering, when you're out there...
I always have moments. My mother passed away 4 years ago, and we had this... We finally had the gay talk where we weren't really close, and I knew that she had a terminal illness, and I have to talk with her. We have to get this out. And she finally said to me, she goes, I'm only worried about your physical safety now. And so those thoughts are often in my mind when we organize these rallies and we do all these things, but to be honest with you, Salt Lake City is one of the most welcoming, queer, loving cities in the nation.
Well, it's full of young people.
Yeah, it is.
Full of young people.
I know listeners are probably hearing me say that going, are you crazy?
Well,
but it's so true. This city is on our side.
I went there for vacation a few years ago, and that's when I last saw you. Mm-hmm. And I told people here in San Francisco, where are you going? We're going to go to Salt Lake City. And they're like, what? Why would you go there? I mean, this year we went to Cleveland and Detroit, and they were like, what? Why would you go there? Because, it's interesting,
exactly.
And it's America, and get over yourself, San Francisco, and go to some of these places and spend some of your money there.
Yeah.
And stimulate it, because it was amazing how many young people. There was a concert that night, and there was all these young people just flooding the streets, all
yep.
tats up and all kinds of... outfits, and it had a hippie vibe and a punk vibe, and
it was not what
people know or think of when they think of Salt Lake City.
I've heard it compared to people who know. I think Cleve Jones said this to me. He said that Salt Lake reminds him of San Francisco in the 70s.
Oh.
And it's just this emerging destination place with a whole new foodie culture and great architecture going up and a great music scene. And
well, it's got a great climate.
Yeah, and it's got everything outside of Salt Lake. I mean, it politically is crazy, but it's offset by some of the most stunning geography in the nation.
Now, I just want to get to this real quick, though, and that is this nemesis of yours that you used to be friends with, and you're upsetting her right and left. Just give us 30 seconds on her and tell us about her.
Gail Ruzicka is the Anita Bryant of Utah. She's the president of the Utah Eagle Forum. She is the leading advocate against LGBT rights. And when I came off of my Mormon mission many moons ago, I was so scared about being gay that I sublimated my sexuality into becoming sort of a right-wing zealot. And she actually became my mentor. But thankfully, that kind of extreme right-wing indoctrination didn't stick. And I found my way out to the left side of the spectrum. But now Gail and I are kind of frenemies, and we spar a lot. And it's
well, you're the thorn in her side. What a,
yeah.
What a civic duty you've got there.
It's true. I've never thrown a pie in her face, but I've gotten into her face many times.
Wonderful. Listen, it's always so great. I don't want it to be so long before you get back on this program and share more of what you're doing there in Salt Lake City. You're a dynamic leader of the community and a wonderful guy to listen to talk.
Well, thank you. I'm coming to San Francisco this weekend.
Okay.
So I am super excited to see all of you and to meet you guys and just be part of the really the queer mecca of the world.
Well, bring a lot of money.
Yeah, yes. Okay, I will.
I'll show you the cheap dives.
I love it.
All right, darling.
All right.
Thank you so much, Troy Williams.
Thank you.
Talk to you later. You've been listening to Out in the Bay, a weekly show about gay life from San Francisco. Our show streams and is on the air every Thursday at 7 p.m., and then we archive it for podcasting and on-demand listening, outinthebay.com, outinthebay.org. And you can get us on your phone. Go to our website and download the Stitcher app. You can also check out our Playing Favorites page. We put up some of our best stuff, Ang Lee, Sylvester, John Waters, Leslie Gore. Make a donation. Hit the donation button. It's tax deductible and it keeps us on the air. Come on, do it. If you want to write us, Marilyn at outinthebay.com, Eric at outinthebay.com. Thanks to the staff and management of KLW. Debbie Kennedy's our engineer. Thank you, Debbie. Out in the Bay is produced by Eric Jansen and me. I'm Marilyn Pittman. Thanks for joining me.